In Russia, later that summer, Rex Tillerson flew to the Black Sea resort of Sochi to meet with Vladimir Putin. Before television cameras, the two men sat on opposite sides of a horseshoe-shaped table and announced a new partnership between ExxonMobil and Rosneft, the Russian oil company. The oil firms agreed to invest at least $3.2 billion to develop oil between the Arctic Kara Sea. If the deal survived the backtracking and disputes that disrupted so many other Russian oil deals, the total investment in the project could reach $500 billion. The United States Geological Survey estimated that the Arctic held about 90 billion barrels of recoverable but undiscovered oil and about as much natural gas as Russia's onshore supplies, which were the world's largest. Most of the Arctic's oil and gas is believed to lie in areas controlled by Russia. In the Kara Sea, where ExxonMobil agreed to drill, oil development has become easier because of the rapid retreat of Arctic sea ice, most likely due to global warming. In 2011, on a typical August day, the amount of Arctic sea ice was about 40% less than had been present on an average August day between 1979 and 2000. At the announcement in Sochi, Vladimir Putin spoke approvingly of ExxonMobil's unique technology and the corporation's ability to operate in the Arctic's difficult conditions. As to the scale of the investment planned, Putin added, "It's scary to utter such huge figures." Mikhail Khodorkovsky, the oil and banking tycoon who had drawn Lee Raymond into negotiations designed to transform the U.S.-Russian energy partnership during the first term of the Bush administration, languished in a remote Russian prison, under sentence until at least 2017. In West Africa, ExxonMobil's managers continued to bring oil to market despite the coup plots, kidnapping raids, corruption, and factionalism menacing the corporation's host regimes in Nigeria, Chad, and Equatorial Guinea. After millions of dollars in expenditures on Washington lobbyists, Equatorial Guinea's president, Teodoro Obiang, managed for the first time to have his photograph taken at the side of an American counterpart, Barack Obama, who agreed to pose with Obiang at a museum reception in New York. Obama's administration continued to license military and police trainers to support Obiang's regime, although the White House, cautioned by human rights activists and congressional critics of Equatorial Guinea, held back from the fullest forms of partnership advocated by Obiang's lobbyists. Obama's Justice Department filed a civil lawsuit against Obiang's free-spending son, Teodoro, seeking forfeiture of his Malibu mansion and other assets on the grounds that the Obiang's money came from foreign official corruption. ExxonMobil produced more than 600,000 barrels of oil and gas liquids per day from West Africa. The corporation produced roughly the same amount of oil from the Gulf of Guinea as it produced from the United States and Canada. In 2011, Walter Kansteiner, the Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs during the first term of the George W. Bush administration, joined ExxonMobil as a senior advisor on the corporation's Africa strategies. In Iraq, ExxonMobil followed adventurous Hunt Oil into Kurdistan, in defiance of Baghdad's government and despite discouragement from the Obama administration, which feared, as the Bush administration had, that oil deals struck independently with the Kurds would worsen Iraq's ethnic conflicts. ExxonMobil's decision risked stirring the ire of Iraq's Shia-led national government, which had awarded the corporation a contract to raise production in its massive West Kurna field in the south of the country. Tillerson undertook his gambit without informing the Obama administration in advance. After ExxonMobil signed agreements concerning six Kurdish oil fields, Tillerson arranged a conference call with senior State Department officials and told them, "I had to do what was best for my shareholders."